Hello, and welcome to your GCSE English Literature Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and we're diving into one of the most rewarding texts on the specification, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Whether your exam is weeks away or just around the corner, this episode is going to give you everything you need. The key themes, the essential quotes, the writer's methods, and the exam tips that will help you climb those mark scheme levels. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. A Christmas Carol was published in 1843, and Dickens wrote it in just 6 weeks. It sold out on Christmas Eve of that year. But don't let the festive title fool you. This is a sharp, politically charged critique of Victorian society, and that's exactly why examiners love it. Every question you face will reward you for understanding not just what happens, but why Dickens made the choices he did, and what those choices meant to his original Victorian readers. Let's start with the big picture. The novella is structured into five staves. Dickens deliberately uses the word stave rather than chapter because a stave is a verse of a carol. This is your first writer's method. The structural choice signals from the very beginning that this is a moral song, a story with a message to sing out. Examiners will credit you for recognizing this and linking it to Dickens' purpose. Now, Scrooge, he is the central character, and he is not a real person. He is an authorial construct. That phrase is gold in the exam. Dickens builds Scrooge as an embodiment of everything wrong with Victorian attitudes to poverty. In Stave 1, Dickens describes him as hard and sharp as flint, solitary as an oyster, and a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Notice how Dickens piles up those adjectives. This is a technique called accumulation or listing, and it creates the impression of a man utterly consumed by greed. The similes, hard as flint and solitary as an oyster, are particularly powerful. Flint is cold, unyielding, and can spark fire when struck. An oyster is sealed shut, protecting something precious inside. Dickens hints, even here, that there is something worth saving in Scrooge. The theme of social responsibility is central to everything. Dickens was horrified by the New Poor Law of 1834, which forced the destitute into workhouses, places of deliberate misery designed to deter the poor from seeking help. When the charity collectors visit Scrooge in Stave 1 and he says, "Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?" he is voicing the attitudes of the Victorian establishment. Dickens uses Scrooge as a mouthpiece for the very views he despises, so that he can then dismantle them. This is dramatic irony at its most purposeful. The supernatural is Dickens' vehicle for moral change. Jacob Marley arrives in Stave 1, dragging chains made of cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers, deeds, and heavy purses wrought in steel. This is pure allegory. Every item is a symbol of financial greed. Marley's chains are the physical manifestation of a life spent prioritizing money over people. He warns Scrooge, "I wear the chain I forged in life." This is one of the most important quotes in the novella. It tells us that our choices have consequences, moral, spiritual, eternal consequences. Examiners will reward you for linking this to the Christian context of the text. Victorian readers would have understood this as a warning about the afterlife, about judgment. The three spirits each represent a different dimension of Scrooge's moral education. The ghost of Christmas past is described as both old and young simultaneously. Like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old man. This paradox reflects the nature of memory itself. The past is both distant and immediate, both innocent and weighted with regret. The ghost of Christmas present is a giant, generous, abundant figure surrounded by food and warmth, a direct contrast to Scrooge's cold, sparse existence. But crucially, this spirit reveals ignorance and want, two ragged, wretched children hidden beneath his robe. This boy is ignorance. This girl is want. Beware them both. This is Dickens speaking directly to his readers, warning that poverty and lack of education are the greatest threats to society. The ghost of Christmas yet to come is the most terrifying. Silent, pointing, never speaking. Its silence is a technique. It forces Scrooge and the reader to confront the consequences of an unreformed life without any mediation. The Cratchit family is essential to understanding Dickens' social message. Bob Cratchit earns 15 shillings a week, a poverty wage, yet the family's Christmas is characterized by warmth, love, and gratitude. Dickens contrasts their emotional richness with Scrooge's material wealth to argue that human connection is the true measure of a good life. Tiny Tim is the most potent symbol in the novella. His crutch, his vulnerability, his famous line, "God bless us, everyone," these mark him as an innocent victim of economic injustice. When the ghost of Christmas Present warns that Tiny Tim will die unless the future changes, Dickens is making a direct political argument. The poor are dying because of the indifference of the wealthy. Fred, Scrooge's nephew, functions as a foil to Scrooge. Where Scrooge is cold, Fred is warm. Where Scrooge dismisses Christmas as humbug, Fred celebrates it as the only time I know of in the long calendar of the year when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely. That phrase, shut-up hearts, is a brilliant echo of the oyster image. Fred's generosity of spirit is what Scrooge must learn to emulate. Right, let's talk about the exam itself. The most common mistake candidates make is retelling the plot. If your paragraph starts with, in stave 3, Scrooge visits the Cratchit family and sees them celebrating Christmas, you are already losing marks. Examiners want analysis, not summary. Every paragraph needs a clear point about what Dickens is doing and why. The second most common mistake is what examiners call feature spotting, identifying a technique without explaining its effect. Saying Dickens uses a simile earns you nothing. Saying Dickens uses the simile hard and sharp as flint to present Scrooge as emotionally cold and unyielding, suggesting to a Victorian reader that he has rejected the Christian values of compassion and charity. That earns marks at level 4. Context is another area where candidates go wrong. Do not write a separate paragraph about the Victorian era. Context should be woven into your analysis. Ask yourself, what would a Victorian reader have thought or felt at this moment? How does knowing about the poor law, or the workhouses, or Malthusian economics change how we read this passage? For AO4, that's your spelling, punctuation, and grammar marks. Remember that 4 marks are available. Use a range of sentence structures. Spell key terms correctly. Allegory, juxtaposition, foreshadowing. And write informal academic English throughout. The command word explore means you should cover multiple aspects of the question. Don't just focus on one theme or one character. Show breadth as well as depth. How does Dickens present means focus on methods, language choices, structural decisions, form. Always use the word Dickens rather than the narrator. This keeps your analysis focused on authorial intent. Time for a quick fire quiz. Pause after each question and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What word does Dickens use to describe the structure of the novella instead of chapters? The answer is staves. Question 2. Complete this quote from stave 1. Hard and sharp as flint, from which no steel had ever struck out generous fire, secret and self-contained, and solitary as an oyster. Question 3. What do the two children hidden under the Ghost of Christmas Present's robe represent? Ignorance and want. Question 4. What is the significance of Marley's chains? They are an allegory for the burden of a life spent in greed. Each link represents a selfish choice. Question 5. What is the literary term for the novella's use of characters and events to represent abstract moral ideas? Allegory. Let's bring it all together. A Christmas Carol is a moral fable, a ghost story, and a political pamphlet all in one. Dickens uses the supernatural framework to explore the very real, very urgent social problems of his time: poverty, inequality, and the moral failure of the wealthy. Scrooge's transformation is not just a personal redemption story. It is Dickens' argument that society itself must change. In the exam, remember, analyze methods, integrate context, maintain a clear argument, and always ask yourself, what is Dickens trying to make his reader think, feel, or do? If you keep that question at the heart of every paragraph, you will be writing at the highest levels. Good luck in your exam. You've got this. And remember, as Tiny Tim would say, God bless us, everyone.